Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and good evening. From my understanding, you all have not been able to hear me, so thank you for tuning in for another Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. This is Fechina Kirkendall. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be here tonight. So I am so happy that I have people. God always sends people here to help me out. So I thank you, Lord. So I'm just going to go in with prayer because it's already starting off, but that's all right. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you for who you are, Lord. You are so merciful. You are so wonderful. You are so marvelous, Lord. And as we move forward, Lord, in this new 2021 year, I ask you to decrease me, Lord. Forgive me of all of my sins, Lord. And I ask you to decrease Fechina Kirkendall and bring in, I invite your Holy Spirit to come in. And I ask him to show up and show out that whatever I say, whatever I do is a reflection of you. And as we talk about this subject tonight, oh, I am so, so excited about what you have in store for us. Oh, word, I'm just about to burst. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. And I just want to say thank you for those who have been faithful listeners of Chronicles. It is a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to be used as a vessel. And I just want to say thank you. I thank you for those who are here locally in the United States. So many states, it's more than for me I'll just say throughout the United States. I thank you. From the East Coast, the West Coast, I thank you all. And I also thank you for those who are tuning in internationally. We have over now 5 countries who are tuning in, and I'm so, so humbled about this experience. So I thank you very much. So let's get into the topic. But before I do, you're tuning into Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fechina Kirkendall, and if you know someone who could be blessed by this tonight, you can have them tune in by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/ Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. You can also reach me on Facebook by typing in Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, spaces in between. You can catch me that way. You can also catch me on my Instagram page, but on my personal page, which would be Fechina Kirkendall. That's spelled F as in Frank, O-U-C-H-I-N-A. Last name is K-I-R-K-E-N-D-O-L-L. You can tell I'm used to spelling that all the time. And also, I do have an email, and I thank you all for those who have reached out to me on email. You can reach me at C as in Charlie, F woman, at gmail.com. That's C-O-A-F woman at gmail.com. Tonight, we're going to be talking about an interesting topic, and we're going to be talking about the root of unforgiveness. If you know anyone who wants to call in and chime in, you're more than welcome to do so. You may call in at 914-338-1552. That number again is 914-338-1552. So let's delve into it. So as God has been dealing with me, and he's been dealing with me since 2020, as a matter of fact, you know, unforgiveness, let me just be honest, I'm going to be very transparent, has been one of the major topics that he has been dealing with me on. And it's funny because for a long time, I thought I had just forgiven everything. Everyone knows my background. I come from a history of abuse, sexual, emotional, mental, and verbal abuse. And just when I thought that everything was good, just when I thought I have forgiven, just come this past October, I found out I still had some roots going on. I really had some deep-rooted unforgiveness going on in my life. And I actually had to take some time and ask God to come in and till the soil of my soul and just dig up all those roots, expose them so I can deal with it and move on and move forward. And it's funny because even up until today, I had something come to me from a conversation I had with a classmate of mine, and I didn't realize. And I was like, you know what? No, we're going to have to nip this in the bud, and I'm done with it. You know, because you have to finally get to a point where you're going to hold on, you're not going to hold on. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Has unforgiveness manifest in our health? Has it manifest in our well-being and our longevity? Has that done that to you? You know, I mean, this is, you know, it's a serious topic. You know, so let's just go into it. You know, let's go into what is forgiveness? What is unforgiveness? Well, before I do that, let me go say this. I usually put out a poll this year, this 2021 year. I've decided it's been working very well ending in the year 2020. I decided to put out a poll. And so I will be doing that a lot on the Chronicles page, Facebook page. And I think I'm going to make sure I do it on the actual Blog Talk Radio page as well to make sure we're all interacting. And the two questions I put out there today was, have you ever harbored unforgiveness in your heart? And if so, are you still holding on to it? The second part of that was, how has it affected your well-being? Or do you still, how has it affected your well-being, or did it have any effect on you at all? I found this to be a very, very interesting question. You know, so let me take it to scripture, because, you know, I don't like to go anywhere without taking it to the Word of God. So let's go ahead and do that as well. So thanks to my son, and I'm talking about my 9-year-old I'm referring to, you know, and the use of your electronics, I believe that I'm going to be all right this year because he's helping me out a lot. So my first scripture comes from, I actually have to thank my girlfriend too, 1 John 4th chapter 20th verse, and I'm doing the NIV version in this one. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar, for whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. Very, very interesting. And we do have those people out there, and my hands is definitely up on that one, who claims that they love God. They've, you know, just swear up and down. Yeah, I did. I just swore up and down I love some God, but then I had, you know, feeling a certain kind of way for a certain kind of person, especially, you know, those did me wrong or caused me some type of hurt or pain. Have you felt that way? Have that ever happened to you? And I held on to that longer than I thought. I thought I was over some of it, but apparently I had not, you know. And how did it affect me in some kind of way? Well, at first, I'll put it like this. I had 2 heart attacks. That's how it affected me. I had 2 heart attacks. It affected my health in many kind of ways. Any type of unforgiveness that I had, depending on what the degree it was, I had health challenges, heart attacks, strokes. It affected me in the worst way. So I finally had to get to a point where God was like, you know what? It's time to let it go. So it can affect you in so many different ways. It's just how it affected me. And I started losing my hair. I mean, literally losing my hair. And females, I lost mine up front. Okay, that's not cute. It's not a cute look whatsoever. But when I put the question out there, I got phenomenal responses. So I just thank you ahead of time for those who participated in it. And I'm going to try to get through all of this tonight. But this is going to be, this is a series. Let me first of all say this. When God brought this to my attention, it was about coming out of bondage. That is what we're going to be talking about in the month of January. And the subject we're going to hone in on is forgiveness. The first thing we're going to talk about when it comes to forgiveness, because we have five Sundays in this month, the root of forgiveness. And that's what we're going to talk about. So some of the responses that I'm going to be talking about has a two-parter. So you probably hear the first part of it this Sunday and then the second part of it next Sunday. So let's just dig right into it. So I'm going to start with I already gave you my scripture. So I'm just going to start into one of the responses that I receive as far as a response. So like I said, if you don't hear me, just let me know. That means I've gone too far away from the phone and I don't need to. So I'm not going to call anyone's name tonight, but I'm just going to give a city and the state that they're, you know, they gave the responses from. This one came from Marietta, Georgia. And the question was, I have harbored unforgiveness before. I thank God for being patient and extending. I thank God for being patient and extending his grace until I did forgive. Everyone closest to me, unfortunately, felt the absence of my of the best of me being free-spirited. Everyone closest to me, unfortunately, felt the absence of the best of me being free-spirited, vibrant, and joyful. In retrospect, I now see that the pain of unforgiveness consumed some emotions, thoughts, energy that robbed God, blocked blessings received and given, as well as stunt my spiritual growth. How many people can attest to that? How many people can attest to that? You've been so caught up and holding on to something that it's almost like swallowing poison and hoping that the other person will get harm from it when you're just harming yourself. Isn't that something? And my research, because you know I'm always Googling something, in my research I found some information that talks about, you know, signs of people, and I'm going to get into that a little later, but I want to dig into another testimony that was given, and I'm so excited about it. And this one is on a different level, but I thought it was so phenomenal that they shared it with me, and this is coming from Conyers, Georgia, and it says, I held on to unforgiveness for years when it came to my real father. It bothered me a lot in high school when all my teammates' dads were at a game. That fueled me when it came to sports. I was determined to make him aware just who I was. When he came home for the holidays from New York, he would say, I heard good things about you. Did it affect me? Yes, because I believe some of the choices I made coming out without him would have been done differently with him. My mom did the best she could, and I love her more than anything in this world for it. Single parents, single mothers. I can definitely relate to that. I can say that my situation has now changed. I don't know what anyone else, but those whose situation has not changed, how many people can relate to that situation right there? How many people can relate to having that young man out there? I know so many men that can attest to that same testimony that was given. Oh, when it comes to children, my heart just goes out a certain way. But how many people can do that? You know, it takes me back to, you know, a scripture. I'm sitting here looking at my scriptures, and I have so many that I can choose from. But I'm gonna go with this. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And that is Hebrews 12 chapter and 14th verse. And this is all coming from the King James Version that I'm reading from. How many of us can say that? You know, as young men and women, because you have some women, some daughters who are going through the same thing. How many can do that? And as I mentioned before, you know, I'm always researching something. And so we talk about, you know, these unforgiveness. And one of the things I saw on here is coming from a website called spirituallivingforbusypeople.com. And it talks about 14 warning signs that unforgiveness is eating you alive. Now, we're going to be doing this. This is a part one and part two of this one, because it also talks about what you can do about it. We're going to talk about how you know. And some people, when it comes to this, you know, I'm going to go with the first one when it talks about you're experiencing bursts of anger. How many people have done that? They've, you know, I'm guilty of that. I know that I am. I've gone from 0 to 1,000 in a second, mainly because of what I've gone through as a younger person. I've gone through 0 to 1,000 in a second. There's a particular testimony that I'm looking for that I think I found her that I want to share. And I actually believe she may be on the line. I need you to text me and let me know if you want to give it yourself. I just know that when it comes to bursts of anger, there are certain things that, in fact, I know another one I can use until I get that confirmation from her. But there are certain things that, you know, you think you're over something and you think you're forgiven, and then it's almost like a scab. You know, you go through something and you think everything was okay, and then you find out, you know what? No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. No. And here she go. This is coming from the Metro Atlanta area in Georgia. And she stated, I didn't realize I was holding on to unforgiveness until the topic was brought up. I became emotional, and that's when I realized that I had not forgiven that person. One thing that stuck with me from years ago, Judge Maybelline from divorce court said, you're not over it until you stop, you're not over it if you're still crying about it. It caused me to keep a guard up and not to trust people fully again and to watch people with a magnifying glass. So any little thing they do that reminded me of something of my past, I assume they are just like that person that hurt me. How did I get over it? Well, that's going to be continued for next week. But you have some people, actually, I'm going to share this particular one, because in this case, how did I get over it or have gotten over it? Well, God is still dealing with me, and it's getting better. So you have some people that's still harboring unforgiveness, and their work in progress. So I say all this to say this: forgiveness or unforgiveness can do so much damage to not only to you mentally, spiritually, emotionally, but it could just eat at you physically in all kind of ways. It can damage. It could really put on rose-colored glasses. It could put that type of stuff on you. And unfortunately, innocent people will catch it when they shouldn't, and it's not fair. I can honestly say that, you know, just from experience. But how many of us are guilty of that? Sometimes we don't even know that we've done it. Number two, you're petty and impulsive. When interacting with the person who you struggle to forgive, do you make snide remarks Do you send them passive-aggressive texts? Do you engage in mudsliding? And yet you're still powerless because you have not forgiven them. One of the things I've learned is a person who has, a person who can still make you mad still has control. I've learned that the hard way about myself. And I recently told my oldest son, because my oldest son is 26, and I mentioned to him, a person who can still get you upset, they still have control, and you have to learn to take your control back. But, you know, those are just definitely signs of unforgiveness. And for those who are just tuning in, you know, this is Fuchina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. We're talking about our new series when we're talking about coming out of bondage. And the topic that we're concentrating on in the month of January is forgiveness. And we're talking about the root of forgiveness right now. And that's what we're talking about right now. And we're just thankful for all the testimonies that we have thus far. And as we move forward, I hadn't gotten my confirmation on the person I thought, so I'm just going to continue. I'm going to read her testimony anyway because she's given me permission to do so. And with that being stated, I have to find it because I just lost it. Okay, here we go. So this is coming from Charleston, South Carolina. After starting my healing from being violated as a child, I realized I had more people accountable than just my abusers. With this realization came the need to acknowledge my anger towards other relatives. What did they do or not do to facilitate my abuse? It's a process that I'm still in the middle of. My abuse and brokenness didn't happen overnight, and the broken did not happen overnight. It's a process that I'm still in the middle of. My abuse and brokenness didn't happen overnight, and neither will my forgiveness of these additional people. It's easy to tell someone they should forgive quickly, but a damaged child allowed to grow up into an adult without any healing isn't going to realize or forgive quickly. In the midst of that brokenness, there was a marriage, children, divorce, other relationships, and life issues. I refused to be lectured about this and made to feel bad because I'm still working on forgiving everyone that played a role in my abuse as an innocent child. True forgiveness takes understanding and time. Truly forgiving from within and not merely saying it to appease others. Forgiveness is a process and a daily activity, and no two people process it the same. Wow, that's deep. I'm going to talk about that again next Sunday, if that's okay. But she said a lot, and she's right. It is a process. It really is a process. And, you know, we can quote scriptures. We can say, hey, forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you. And that is true. That is very true. But it is a process, and it doesn't happen overnight. And the abuse didn't happen overnight. And I apologize because my throat is dry, and it's not going to be, you know, the healing is not going to come overnight. Now, everybody is different. I'll be the first one to say everybody's different, and everybody handles things in a different way, and there's no right way or wrong way to handle it. It's just your way. Yes, I was, young lady. I was talking about you. There's no right way or wrong way to handle it, but it is your way. And your way is your way. And no one can tell you what your way is. They can't tell you it's right. They can't tell you it's wrong. It is just your way because you're the one that got to answer to God. I'm sorry about that, y'all. You're the one that has to answer to God. It's not too late if you still want to chime in. Let me know. It's not too late. It's too late. The bottom line is, it's never too late. And as long as you are living in the dash, as someone once says, A friend of mine says, you know, you have the opportunity to do it. So with that being stated, I'm assuming that she wants to get on board, so I'm going to see if she's going to do it. So with that being stated, thank you for tuning in for Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Thank you for your participation. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Thank you, love. So you don't have to say your name or anything like that, but I not too long ago read what you stated. But what is your take on what I just read? Because I did too.
Well, I guess the biggest thing is that it's different for everyone. And I think one of the biggest things is you have to recognize it. Like, some people don't know. Like, in my situation, when I said I realized it, like, I'm not talking about, like, 5 years ago. I'm talking, like, recently that I had to, you know, going through a healing process that I realized that, like, subconsciously, I didn't even think about these people. And the more we started going through, I was like, OMG, like, I didn't realize that I held this person accountable but it was just for me, like I said. Once you realize something or you've learned something, then you go from there. So in my defense, I don't think I'm living in the dash. Like, I literally just begun a process. Like, the people that abused me, those are different people. But like I said, these were other people that I learned through looking in myself. And just, if you're not going through a process of trying to heal, oh, how about this? Some people don't even think they have anything to heal from. Or some people might not even be thinking about that they've ever been hurt or done wrong or anything like that. So I think first you have to recognize if there's something there to begin with, because everybody hasn't been abused or victimized. Some people might feel like, well, I've never really had anything happen to me like that for me to have to really forgive anybody. You know, I don't have any issues with anybody. And I think that's a great thing. But I just think once you learn things, then you have to start from there. And I don't think necessarily that people are living in a dash, because there's people as old as they are, they're just now learning things about themselves. Like, some people might not even know that they harbored unforgiveness, and some people might say, yeah, but when you get a certain age, yeah, but it depends on how you grew up, where you're at in your life right now, who you're surrounded by, you know, if you even have a spiritual relationship. So I think all that stuff matters in a person identifying if they have some type of issue, what the issue is. Is it with someone? Is it with their self? I found that a lot in my healing process, just with my group. It was us forgiving ourselves, and you don't really think that, oh, well, I don't forgive myself because I thought I did something wrong. And it's kind of bizarre, but once you start going through the healing and you realize, I went through this as a child or as an adult or whatever, and I didn't realize that I held myself accountable for something that I had no control over, you know. So, again, that was a realization, something that had to be, that you learned, and you're like, wow, okay, so I need to work on making sure I forgive myself for something that wasn't my fault and that, you know, I had no control over. So I just think the education, the realization of it, if you've started a process of trying to heal, because that helps. But if you're the type of person, you're not talking to no therapist, nobody, you just living your life and you think everything is just going to go away, I don't see how you can come to the realizations of your life, whether you're holding yourself accountable for something or other people. You have to start somewhere to even begin the process of trying to forgive, because if you don't realize that, then how can you start forgiving? You don't think you have any, you know, thing to forgive or anybody that you need to forgive.
Right. I get what you're saying. Now, I want to make sure I clear something up. When I say the dash, I'm talking about when you have a tombstone and you have the date you were born, then you have the dash, and then the date you're deceased. That's the dash. That means, so that's when I talk about the dash, that's the time you have to live your life and do whatever you need to do before you leave this earth. That's what I mean by the dash. It's the time. Okay. So I just want to make sure we are straight on that. All right, cool. Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming on. I wasn't sure. I'm glad you got caught on to it. So thank you. I appreciate you so much. So you said quite a bit, and I appreciate your realness, and I appreciate your transparency, and I especially appreciate the fact that you are honest with it to say that you're a work in progress. Am I clear on what I'm understanding, that you're a work in progress?
Absolutely.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. The thing is, you're a work in progress, and that's a good thing. And I agree with you. You have some people who really do not know they have a situation going on. Like the testimony I read prior to the recent one, when she said, I didn't even realize I had an issue until the topic came up. And I was like, wow. And just like when I did, I thought I'd forgiven until something happened, and something came up. And even this morning, I was in a conversation with a classmate, and I was like, wow, it brought something out. And I was like, oh, I need to address this. So you just never know, but it goes back to God coming in and tilling that soil. And you know, when you till, if you're from the South, you know what tilling the land is. You start bringing up all those roots and exposing and getting rid of it. So thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate your love. Thank you. So like I said before, you know, sometimes you have unforgiveness that you think that's not there, but it's there. You think that it's not there, but it's there. And sometimes it's almost like a scab. It's literally like a scab that you think that's healed, and soon as something brushes against it, then it's exposed all over again. Well, I have another testimony I want to read, and it says, the question was a two-part question, in case for those who are not familiar with the question that I asked. And the question that I put out there earlier today was, have you ever harbored unforgiveness in your heart? If so, are you still holding on to it? And how has it affected your well-being, or did it have any effect on you at all? And that is the question we're talking about, those questions we're answering tonight. And so I found it to be a very interesting question, and it has just been a phenomenal response. So I just thank you all for tuning in on that and chiming in on that. And so my next response is coming from Decatur, Georgia. And he said, yes, I have. I don't think it's affected my well-being at all because I kept it moving. I did not dwell on it, but I am still harboring unforgiving anger. I found that very interesting because I said, well, isn't that in effect? You're still harboring the anger? And so it's interesting because it's that classmate that brought something out of me when I was sharing a situation about my son's father. And I said, well, wow, you know, I was talking to you, but then I ended up exposing something of myself. I didn't realize that I still had there. But I recognize that what I've learned in my age, I can't hold on to stuff for a long period of time, especially when it's something exposed to me. I can't hold on to it. Now, I don't knock those who can, because, like I said, it's a process for everyone. It's really, really a process. And so everyone is different. Everyone is different, and it's a choice, and it is a choice. But I do know that nothing lasts forever, and in this case, I know it won't. So I have one that's coming from California. And the response was, yes, I've harbored some unforgiveness. And honestly, I feel like I'm still holding on to it. And how has it affected him? Or still, he says, well, I distanced myself away from people now as a result. And I was like, wow, isn't that something? Isn't that something? That's really, really something. It's just amazing how unforgiveness can really, really, really do something to you. It goes back to one of my other points of how do you know you're harboring unforgiveness? And one of them is number three. And there's 14 points, by the way. We won't be getting through all of them tonight. But you're desperate to make people, to make them understand how you feel. Another one is you're compulsive. And number five is you're unable to reframe your experiences. Let's see, when you allow another person to color your memories, the sight of the formerly favorite, smell or something, love, I'm not very sure what they mean by this one. Oh, okay, so when you have something familiar, like if you have a fond memory or something, like if you, you know, y'all normally go to the Cheesecake Factory on this and something comes up with the Cheesecake Factory, I guess that's where that's coming from. Very interesting. But anyway, so that's, distancing yourself, I get it. I get it. How many of us have done that? I have a particular testimony that I want to share. It was very, 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 very deep. And I wanted to share it tonight as I move forward to wrapping this particular one up. You know, we have people that are in positions and certain positions, whether it's of the cloth or those who hold some type of positions with God or whatever, but they're human as well. And as I was digging into this, I was talking to some, you know, this went out to a lot of people. That's what I'm going to say. It went out to a lot of people. And when I got the response back, like I said, it was overwhelming. And I'm going to read this particular, and I got permission to read this testimony. And this one is coming from Kissimmee, Florida. And actually, I apologize. It's not Kissimmee, Florida. It's Orlando, Florida. And it says, my life has changed in that I've been able to walk out of forgiveness to both parties, letting them both know that I have forgiven them. And hold on 1 second. Let me go back. I got to go back because I missed a big part. Yes, I have harbored unforgiveness in my heart. In many ways, I can say that until recently, I have been getting free to release myself from the prison of unforgiveness. It hasn't been easy, but the Holy Spirit has been helping me in this process. I was hurt very, I do not like these emojis. I was hurt very deeply by the woman I married and thought I'd share life, family, and ministry with until I found out she had been having a secret affair for 8 years with one of my best friends. Our marriage was destroyed. My children suffered. My church and those I influenced were in pain. And I went through a period of serious depression and wanting to quit ministry, even my life. Unforgiveness threatened to destroy me and was a tool the enemy used to steal, kill, and destroy me. I have learned that I could not let unforgiveness ruin my life, and I had to let it go. because I definitely can understand how that person felt. I understand betrayal. I understand the rejection and the humiliation and everything that could have came with that situation. You know, it makes me think about Hebrews 11:1. Bless those who curse you, bless and do not curse. Easier said than done, but it is a process. And you know, when you forgive, and this, I'm looking forward to dwelling more into this next week. But to be chained to that unforgiveness for so long, feeling some kind of way to a point where you want to take your life. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but I know I can attest to that. That's a personal testament of how I was at one point in my life where I wanted to take my life because the pain was so unbearable. And then you go through these stages when you're going through a divorce and betrayal and all that, you know, you go through those stages of like you're mourning. It's like a death, and anger is definitely one of them. And the thing about, you know, going through a death, there is no particular time frame that you have when you're going through your process. Your process for anger may be a little longer than your process of grieving, and your process of bargaining may be a little longer than your process of releasing. Everything is different. But I was so grateful that, one, he allowed me to share his testimony, because even men or women of the cloth, they're human, just like everybody else. They go through like everybody else. So we have to be mindful when we are so judgmental of folks who hold a position. We have to be very mindful of that, because they struggle just like we do. They really do. They really, really do. Let me go to my next one. I do have the question, though, for those who are listening. And I do have some people. I see some of you who have logged in. This is Fachina Kirkendall with Rev. I'm actually going to give my work information. This is Fachina Kirkendall with Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the series that God has placed in my heart, talking about coming out of bondage, and we're talking about the root of unforgiveness. Those of you who you feel that can be blessed by this, please send them over to, if they're on Blog Talk, they can more than welcome to log into www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. They're more than welcome to reach me on my Facebook page at Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And that is spaces in between, by the way. You're more than welcome to reach out to me on email, which is C as in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. Once again, that email address is COAFwoman@gmail.com. I'm going to go into one more, and then I'm actually going to kind of wrap it up, because there are some things I want to share with you all tonight about Chronicles and some of the things that are, as we're moving forward with it. So let's go into it. So I sent it out. This is coming from Jacksonville, Florida. I have another one from Florida. And it states, yes, I've harbored unforgiveness, but before I let it go, it wasn't before, well, before I let it go, it wasn't easy because, of course, the devil tries to replay those things. And it's so interesting because I have a point on that. And he said it wasn't easy for him because the devil tried to replay those things that hurt or anger us in our minds. Through consistent prayer, I was able to get over it in time. Mentally, it affected me for a while. I had to stop thinking about the hurt. I'm not an emotional person, so that may have helped. And I do know that for a fact. So that may have helped. I usually deal with things internally, but that's not always healthy. So basically, he internalizes a lot of things. And how many of us do that? And that's usually not too much of a good thing, because that's how sometimes you can get sick, and that can cause many, 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 many things. And one of the points that they talked about in this, the 14 signs that you have been forgiven, is you refuse to confide in others. That's one of the things that they talk about. You know, you don't confide, and basically you hold it in and you process. And another thing, speaking of that, is you replay the scenes over and over and over and over in your mind. And so that's a, you know, as he expressed his testimony, that's one of the things that we find ourselves doing. But the good thing about it is there are ways. There are ways. There are ways. And he mentioned it before, and we'll be talking about that next week, about when we talk about as we go to the next level with this series. But, you know, unforgiveness can, it can keep us in a bondage where sometimes we don't even realize that we're stuck. Sometimes we just, and, you know, what's interesting is we can become complacent to a point where we really don't even realize that we're stuck, and no one can tell us nothing. I just know that from my personal experience. No one can tell me anything. No one can tell me anything. How many of you have been that way? How many have you been that way? It's very interesting, but to be honest with you, unforgiveness can, and it's a bondage, and being in bondage is like being in slavery. It can just hold us hostage. And it can be so rough sometimes. And just coming out of it myself, I can't say I wish I would have done this earlier. And to a degree, yes, but it's not easy. It's not an easy process. And I can't tell someone, well, you should, nope, I sure can't. What I will tell people is this: you have to handle it the best way you know how, because only you know what you've gone through. But it does, you know, I will say you have to take a realistic approach, because the truth of the matter is, either you want to live twice or you want to die twice. And one of my realizations came to me is God or Jesus will love us straight to hell. He will love us straight. He will give us the opportunity to get it right. He will do that, but he will love us straight to hell. And I know that's not one of the places I want to be. I can't take summers in Atlanta. So hell just not going to be the place for me. It's just not. And for me, I had to make a decision as to what I'm going to do, which leads into what we're going to be talking about next week. Next week, as we end this discussion on the root of unforgiveness. And in this case, we talked about the absence of a father. We talked about the hurt of a relationship. We talk about the betrayal of a marriage, of a person that got betrayed in their marriage. We talked about just general hurt. We talked about abuse, someone being abused. We talked about, seemed like I missed one. Yeah, I think I got them all. Abuse. We talked about the marriage. We talked about relationships. And then the spiritual, you know, going back on the marriage and the spiritual, because it happens spiritually as well on certain levels. So unforgiveness can come from many different aspects. And if we're not careful, it will keep us in bondage if we allow it. The common denominator I heard from tonight is, you know, a lot of different traumatic incidents has happened in the lives of everyone that shared their testimony. When we talk next Sunday, we're going to talk about forgiveness. That's what we're going to be talking about, is the benefits of forgiving. And we mentioned, we briefly discussed some of it tonight as they were talking about the unforgiveness. And we're going to touch a lot more on it next Sunday as we talk about, you know, why is it important to forgive. Now, this is not to judge anyone, so please don't take it as a judgment for anyone, because this is our Chronicles. It's about this is real talk, real people, real lives, real scenarios. And as of right now, we're going to keep this anonymous because these are sensitive subjects. These are sensitive issues, and out of respect, I will keep their names anonymous out of respect. So with that being stated, I just want to introduce a few things. As I was coming to the end of 2020, I had the LaVon Sumter on the show with me as we talk about my friend, my sister. And she spoke with me. She spoke a word to me. And it just kind of resonated in me. And you all know that the name of the show is Chronicles of a Fondled Woman and Victim to Victor. Well, the show is getting a facelift. And now our show will be Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. God has definitely confirmed that for me. But instead of Victim to Victor, it will be Fondled to Favored, because I'm no longer fondled anymore. I am favored. God has favored me. And I want people to understand that you may go through stuff, and I'm not taking away from what I have been through and what other people go through. That's why I've kept Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. It was suggested I change that too, but God was like, no. So you may go through a situation. Let me tell you something. When God says enough is enough and when it's time, he will come in and turn it around. So I am changing the tagline. So Victim to Victor is now leaving Chronicles, and it'll be Chronicles of a Fondled Woman, fondled once, fondled now, favored. And I'm so excited about that, because as I move forward now and just allow him to just come in and saturate, so many different things are coming in, and so many people have now come on board. They agree to be backstage. I'm trying to get them on the forefront. And then I have those who are just my regulars, and I just want to say I appreciate you all so much, more than you will ever know. And now things are now changing and going to a different pace in a different way. And we're coming to, this year will be our second year. I'm very, very excited about many things that's coming up. I'm coming to my 50 years of living. That's one of the things I'm very excited about. But I'm very excited about where God is taking Chronicles and how it's taking it to a different level. And I'm excited about those he's bringing on board behind the scenes and the partnerships that he is allowing me to encounter and to connect with. And I'm so excited. So with that being stated, this is Fuchina Kirkendall again. And I definitely thank you all for tuning in. I thank you all for logging in. And if you don't catch the live, you can always catch the demands. And a lot of my audience comes from the demand. And I really, really appreciate the fact that you all take the time out. And sometimes I realize, I find out people are listening to me and I can't even see or know that you're listening to me until I get a phone call that you're doing it. I really appreciate you all reaching out for me to me on that and just continuously pouring into me. I always keep someone who's always a spiritual guide in my circle. I have more than one. I have quite a few because I believe in surrounding myself, and he's allowed me to surround myself about people who are in tune and to his word, to constantly enrich me, constantly up, you know, just keep me lifted, because there are times when I get down. And before I leave, I'm just going to say this, you know, rejoice not when thy enemy is fallen, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbles. Proverbs 24:7. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without no man shall see the Lord. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall. It's always a privilege and a pleasure. Please be on the lookout for the poll questions. I'll probably continue the poll questions from this week. It will come right to last week. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.